Welcome back to season 3 of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host, Jean Tien. This season, we explore the concept of truth. Each one of my guests has been handpicked by me for their powerful and inspiring stories of how they've been able to remove the social conditioning behind success and start to truly live that authentic, successful lifestyle. I hope that their stories will inspire you to start to do the same and find what success truly means to you. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic. And for those of you who have sharp ears and can hear that I'm talking a little funny today, it's because I actually just got braces put in. So I will be talking a little funny for the rest of the year. But with me today is a very special guest. Her name is April Mitchell Boudreau, and I am so excited to have her here to have a conversation because April and I met last year when my family and I went to go visit Niagara Falls, and she happened to be one of the vendors at this fair. And I don't remember the name of the fair, but I do remember it was an Indigenous fair, right? And her jewelry just caught actually my daughter's eyes. And I'm like, and it's actually pretty funny because as my daughter is shopping, I'm like sweating about how expensive this whole entire purchase is going to be for her. And April just kept reassuring me, it's fine, it's fine. And it actually turned out fine. And I've actually been addicted to her jewelry ever since then. And we have become friends. And I love our conversations because they're just a no frills, no BS conversation about what's happening in the world. And I wanted to share her gift and to share her with all of you guys today. So, April, welcome so much to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jean. I'm really honored to be here. And who knew that that hot August afternoon would lead to a cold February chat on Zoom?
Right, exactly. And it was just such, I don't want to say like an easy conversation because it's not like easy. It's just you and I just have a very free flowing type of conversation. Like we can talk and we don't have to be anybody other than ourselves. And you know, I've learned so much from you personally, and I don't feel, and you've never, you know, you've always been yourself. You've always been willing to share. And so I've always appreciated that of you. But before we go into it, could you tell us a little bit about Lofton, how you came up with the concept, and why it's important for you to have this business? Because I know that it's not just a jewelry business. There's more to it.
Yeah, thank you for that. Lofton, actually, you should know right out of the gate, Lofton stands for first initials of names of nieces and nephews in our family. So if you go on our Instagram, you'll see I've got it pinned so you can see their names. And in Indigenous culture, you know, being an auntie is a big deal. And I've always had what we call big auntie energy. So that's, you know, the family piece is really important. Lofton happened because I was pregnant with my youngest child and I had to put my feet up and rest at the end of my pregnancy. And we didn't have swipey phones or iPads at the time. So I started making things with beads and stones that I'd collected for years. And I was a professional designer already. So it was just like, oh, this is just a different discipline. Let's play. So that's what I did to amuse myself. And it turned into a little business that, you know, we kind of grew like a little home based, you know, on the kitchen table, have a, you know, Christmas show and invite people, like very, very humble beginnings and never really planning to start a business. You know, I always say I'm an accidental entrepreneur, but people wanted to give me money for what I was making. I was like, okay, I love doing this. So that works. And then just little by little, we tiptoed forward because our family was a priority, not, you know, well, let's make $1 million. And I really wanted something that I could do from home. And fast forward to 2010 is around the time that I came up with the loft and strand system. And that was really in, and so it's convertible for your listeners that don't know. It's a convertible system that allows the wearer to play and design whatever they need for neckline, texture, color. So they really are in the driver's seat with creation. And I love that. And I did that in response to hearing person after person say, I'm not creative. I could never wear that. My neck's too big. My arms are fat. Like whatever it was, women were talking shit about themselves. And so this was a, you know, I always say it's kind of like my love letter to people that, you know, yeah, you can. Yes, you can. And look, check this out. And then, you know, the ones that resist it the most are the ones that come up with the coolest ideas and send emails or texts and show me what they've made. And they, you know, they like stand a little taller and they just, I don't know, have more pride in themselves and their own empowerment. And that's, you know, that's the payoff for me. So that's a very long answer to your question.
No, it's so important though, because there's a couple of key concepts that you touched on in your response. Number one is the play and creativity aspect. I think that in this world today, we're not necessarily prized or rewarded for playing or for being creative.
And sorry to interrupt you, but I think also we have been programmed to think that playing is when we're on our phone doing some stupid game. That's not play.
Right.
So I, you know, this is very analog. This is like involving your hands, your limbic system. And that's how you change your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really see creativity as medicine for everyone. Everybody's a creator. And it's always my teaching. That yeah, you can. Yes, you can, because you are a creator. So, yeah.
And
you know,
it's
what
so important. Yeah. And it's so important because I think for us, we, to your point, we've been programmed to believe that play is a certain way and it's just more of a distraction than it is a play, right? It doesn't give you the same.
Not real play. No, it's just labeled. Everything's labeled for us.
Yep.
And that's in the play category. You know, go to amusement park, do this, do the things we tell you that is play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, creativity is every human being needs it and has it and is a magnificent creator.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think when I first started playing with your jewelry, right, when I first started getting into your jewelry, there was this fear that I had to overcome, which was, oh, am I doing this right? Oh, does this look good? Does this, you know, fit together? And it was, I think you had helped me overcome that fear in the sense of do whatever it is that you like who cares, right? And so there's so much healing that can come from this aspect of creation. And you don't even realize just how much we've been programmed to seek validation from outside of ourselves, you know, until you do something so simple as you put together an accessory that you wear, which normally you just purchase off, you know, the shelves and you put it on and you're like, oh, this is pretty. But when you have a say in it, when you have a hand in it, it's something totally different, right? And it's not fed to you. You get to make the decision. And that's where it becomes scary for it did for me. And I know it does for a lot of people. And so for individuals such as myself, how would you, you know, what advice would you give them to help them overcome that? Like, oh, I could never do something like that. Oh, I'm not, you know, like I'm not, you know, April, you were a designer. Of course you can create beautiful things. I was never a designer. Like, how can I create beautiful things? Like, what would you say to those people out there listening?
It really depends on who the person is. And, you know, I think when you have a conversation with someone that is unapologetically authentic and you say, you know, this is a lot more than jewelry. This is about taking back your body, taking back how you express yourself creatively. you know, it's taking that back, that, you know, that sovereign aspect of our body. I am not going to be a slave to fashion. It's not about that. You know, in my previous career, I was a professional picture framer, which sounds like a very, you know, whatever job, but it isn't. It's a highly specialized job. I worked for one of the top framers in North America and framed everything from Rembrandts to scarab beetles from Egypt, like all kinds of things. And the most important thing that I could convey to people when they were framing something, because we did custom framing, was that, you know, we weren't framing the piece to match the couch. We were giving this piece context for itself so that it stood alone wherever it went, wherever you moved, whatever couch you had, it looked beautiful for itself. And now, you know, this is what I encourage people to do with the jewelry. Like, what is the proper frame for you? Because you are the masterpiece. So what is actually working for you? Not everybody can wear a little black dress, you know? And again, like, fashion is fed to us. Everything is prescribed. This is play. This is fashion. This is entertainment. Like, maybe, but you know what? I'm not vibing with that. Yeah. So, you know, so that's the deeper conversation. And if I think someone's open to it and there's that moment to share and probe a little bit, that is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here to do for each other. It's not about money and stuff, and it's about giving one another permission to really be authentically us. And I feel like the jewelry, because you can clip it and shape it and do what you want, really, you know, connects to that. Pardon the pun, connecting to that. So it's a philosophy.
So it's almost like, it's not a one-way street, where I think most of us think of jewelry as the enhancer.
Yeah.
Whereas it's almost like we enhance each other, in the sense that my energy and my aura enhances the jewelry, and the jewelry enhances myself as well. So it's almost like we're feeding each other in order for us to, whatever it is, right? Like, whether it's to stand out or whatever.
Whatever story we want to tell. Exactly. And, you know, traditionally, my ancestors told stories with beads. And we still continue that to this day, right? We all are telling these stories and what is germane for us in that moment in time. It's very funny, because, you know, people think it's about shiny things, but it's really not.
And it's such, and I don't want to call it basic, but I will call it basic. It's such a simple concept in our lives, one that doesn't require a lot of money. You know, it doesn't require a lot of effort, or, you know, it's not like life or death. But yet it's so simple, but yet so complex. Like, there's so much complexity that comes with it, and it's so much, and it brings forward so much self-awareness.
Yeah. And it really depends on how deep someone wants to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like Lofton and myself, you know, I just meet people where they are, and the jewelry meets people where they are. Yeah. So whatever they need, they're going to be able to come up with a solution. And that is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh yeah. You know, to your point about jewelry in your experience being a one-way conversation, I always say this is a conversation between us, and design should be, you know, I'm saying something out into the world. Is it responding? Is there a response? Are we vibing? Where's the energy? Mm-hmm. And so it's really just my way of talking to the world.
I love it. And part of your objective for Lofton as well is to give back to the Indigenous community, right? To be able to support it. So, you know, how does it do that? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I jumped the gun on your very beautifully phrased question. By employing members of the community. That's, you know, that's how we do it. So, you know, we've been able to do that over the last year with our expansion into Rexall drugstores in Canada. You know, just like over 30 stores that we're serving. So that requires support. And we're happy to be, you know, realizing this goal.
And for those of us, because I think most of my listeners are in the US and maybe not in Canada. So Rexall is similar. And I can only say this for the Northeast section or in New York, Rexall is similar to like a Duane Reade or a Walgreen, I would say, right? It's a huge
big,
like retail or pharmaceutical type of store. And you can go in and buy, you know, chocolate. I know I've gone in and bought a lot of chocolate the last time I was there. but you can also buy, you know, like makeup, and now they can find your products in there, which is just huge. Because to me, it's like, it's almost like the sign of, and in this show, we do talk about success, right? And so if we look at the precondition or the societal conditioning of success, like that would be huge to have something of yours that, you know, that started as a small home business, be able to reach into something so important in the consumer world, right? And such an integral part of the consumer world, and in such a recognizable name, like that's tremendous. That's just tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought, you know, that was never part of the plan. So, you know, it's crazy how it worked out. And that doesn't mean that I haven't cold called over the years. And, you know, before COVID, we were in 60 stores across our country. And they were mostly, you know, small independent stores. Actually, we were at a duty free in Port Huron.
Oh, wow.
One of the busiest crossings at the US Canada border. And they, of course, you know, so you can imagine what happened to our business. Like, yeah, so we're building back up to that, but whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, what really excites me is being able to spark creativity, hire from my community, you know, be healthy, have a happy marriage and beautiful kids. Like, that's success to me. Not a yacht, not a $1 billion. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah,
that's gross to me.
I love that. I love that. And what I've been noticing too is that, like, you know, when I first joined the coaching community a couple of years ago or a few years ago, there was a lot of, and I still see it too, but not as much. There's just so much focus on this. I help my clients make six figures, or I made seven figures, or I made $1 million today. I know. And, you know, that's like the shiny object right syndrome, or, you know, like the shiny object distraction, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to it, I'm seeing actually now it's kind of coming in first full circle, because now I'm seeing those same coaches say, I have to take a sabbatical. I have to leave and figure out what's really important to me. I have to, you know, and here, what you've done is kind of the opposite, right? It's you found what was important to you. You've always known, and you pursued it in a way that is true to yourself. And so I feel like the people that are called to your jewelry not only can appreciate its beauty, but they're called to be authentic to themselves as well, which I think just, it's so, you know, for anybody who knows April, it's just so April. Like, April is... April's authentic, and I love that.
April doesn't pull any punches. April, what do you think about this? Burp.
But can you imagine? But you don't do it in a way that's, you know, I know you watch who you're talking to, and you don't push, right? You just share, but you don't push. And I think that's the difference in energy. I think some people try to convince and sell and push. Where, you know, I think people come to you for just sharing. And I know I've learned so much. Like, I didn't realize all that was happening I don't think I know all that was happening in the Indigenous community, whether that's in Canada or in the US. And so I know I've learned so much. And
Well,
so, I love how you have stayed authentic to you, and yet your business and has kept your business that way too. And yet you're still seeing the same success. And if anything, you're going to keep going far longer than those businesses that were kind of doing it, I'll call it backwards, right?
yeah, they flame out because it's not sustainable what they're selling. And I've always been really focused on sustainably growing the business. And I don't mean in the creepy Klaus Schwab way. I mean in, I was raising kids and my husband is a touring musician, and it didn't make sense to be like, oh, I'm gonna be a boss babe. It's like, how does this fit into my life?
Yeah.
Because I don't, I'm not, I've never been interested in being a slave to anything. And we li do live in a system that asks us to be enslaved. And so I appreciate being outside, coloring outside the lines. And, when it came time to work from home, I'm like, I've been doing this.
Yeah.
I've been here because I don't want to be in your office and I don't want your handcuffs.
Yeah.
And that's me. But not, you know what? Not everybody's like that. I just had this conversation with my daughter who started the whole thing when I was expecting her. And she's about to finish university. And, we're talking about her prospects and, certainty really matters to her. So that's cool that she's aware of that and she can direct herself accordingly. And she wants a job that she can leave when she walks out of the office.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Hopefully it's not going to follow you with email. Anyway, whatever.
And so for so you know, one of the questions that came to mind as you were talking to is you have always colored outside of the lines. Do you attribute that to the indigenous, your indigenous background because you've always had you haven't really been programmed, right, to follow the masses, right? And if so, what can others do, like, to start educating themselves, to start, thinking differently to, so that they become more self-aware of when they're being programmed versus when they're, kind of doing it by their own choice, right?
Yeah. Well, I think curiosity is just so important, and the more we can cultivate our curiosity. And so, that means that when we respond to something like, oh, I have to eat pizza because it's Friday, just being curious about that, like, yeah, pizza's great, but why do I think that? It's a day. Somebody put a label on this space and time. So just being curious, and my husband and I will laugh about it. We'll say, well, it's Friday. I guess we should have fish or whatever. Like, so, being curious, being playful, having a sense of humor, because it can feel a bit grim. There are some pretty serious programs running and, growing up in the era of TV as I did, I could see that we were being programmed, but I didn't see it. And
Yeah.
now, wow, people have the little TV right in their hand and they're all, everybody's just like all the time and
Yeah.
not being present. So being curious, having a sense of humor, and staying as present as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And that is very hard to do nowadays. So
Definitely. Yeah, it's
people
sometimes a
are.
little scary, right? And a little lonely because everybody else is doing the same.
Yeah.
So one thing I normally ask my guests before we end the show is what is their truth when it comes to success? But I feel like you shared that with us earlier today.
I think I did.
I would love, and so what I would love to just invite our audience to check you out on your Instagram because you're so funny there. And you can also see all the beautiful pieces that you post. And so could you share with us like where they can find you, April?
So you can find us at Lofton, and there are two T's and one F. So it's Lofttan. And yeah, come and join us. It's a community. I do like humor a lot. I like to laugh a lot. I think that we all need to laugh, especially after what we've all collectively experienced in the last 3 years. But there's always a conversation going on, and there's a community. And so I think you might enjoy the Instagram. You might like it.
They definitely will. And also, don't hesitate to reach out to April and say, hey, we heard you on the show, and that's why we stopped by, because you're always so friendly and just so open to chat. So.
Yeah, I love people, so it's hard not to. Oh, and I guess I should say Lofton.com. See, I'm
Yes.
not very mercantile.
Yes,
Just come and join the party, and if something speaks to you, right? But yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Lofton.com, and
So,
we ship all over the world.
yes, you do, because I know I get them here in New York.
Thank you.
No, I love them. So then all of your links will be in the show notes. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you so much for your openness and your honesty and for just being who you are and for giving me a nice little discount when my daughter was shopping.
My pleasure, and I'm, thank you for the honor of having me on and asking such insightful questions. You're very good at the s synthesis of information. I also have braces.
So we're listening a lot.
It's a challenge. Anyway, your synthesis is really excellent, and thank you
Thanks, April.
for this experience. Yeah.
Thank you so much. All right, guys, well, join me for another episode next week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.